And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Tan Nomoro. Hey, Mike, you mentioned something about when enjoying the live performance when it's good.
Yeah.
What does that mean? When do you know a live performance is really where it should be?
Okay, what we're trying to do, because really, actually, a lot of sort of the sound that we're trying to achieve, which is slightly unnatural at times, is to really try to get into a fully formed dance act. Really, one of the reasons for that is because it's really the best thing to do for your crowd. You know, like, I'm not saying every one of our shows is like a, you know, dance floor crazy event, but like, we're trying to make it that way. And really, the reason for that is that I think it's the best way for the audience to enjoy it. I mean, otherwise, they're sitting there kind of watching us and stuff. And it's like,
Then you're also trying to appeal to an indie rock crowd as well. From the nature of your music, I mean.
Right.
It's not a synth electro act.
Yeah. I think that's really the balance. I mean, and mainly the reason why we're not a synth electro act is mostly because, like, we're coming from a real grounded, like, Beatles in sort of, you know, Flaming Lips side of things. And while that does have dance elements, it's not a real stretch. We're never going to go fully like techno dance just because, our songs don't turn out that way.
Save it for the remixes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Save it for the reunion tour when those kids want to hear it. No, it's, but that's the kind of the line we're trying to balance, like the fence that we're sort of on is in between dance, which is also on the hip-hop side, not necessarily the techno side, but sort of the hip-hop side, you know, just danceability, and in the indie side.
And when does a live performance not work? Like, could you describe...
Okay, it starts off with my guitar being out of tune.
Right.
All too often.
Is it usually technical problems that keep a live performance from being good, or is it not connecting with the audience on a given night or something like that?
You know, what happens, I think, is something will... It seems like I'm going to recount about almost every gig of ours. Okay? Something goes wrong early on technically. Like either the sound man doesn't know how to hook up Hamilton's turntables or my guitar is grossly out of tune. And then just a slight thing kind of tends to get us out of our head a little bit. And we start like, you know, we realize it kind of right away.
So it
away.
Throws your concentration off.
And then that throws our connection off. You know, really it's, we're always ready. We're always ready to play. And the good shows, the awesome shows are the ones where things are more or less smooth, technically. And I think once we get more polished and start playing for another couple of years, we'll start to just not care what the technical thing goes wrong. But as of now, like, we really care when we're trying to get everything going. Like, we kind of have a big band, so we try to set everything up before the show, and it kind of takes a while. We try to get everything perfect. And then we're also trying to achieve the sound, you know, from the album. And so we all kind of have it in our heads. And it's a work in progress. We're still kind of working toward that sound that we hear.
And you're also playing in a place that may not be accustomed to hooking up a band like yours with the different elements.
Yeah, I don't know if we've really found a place that knew how to handle, like, friggin' 10 direct ins and, like, 3 vocal mics. And, like, you know, we're kind of demanding live.
But it's all worth it.
Yeah, we're finding it. We're finding the sound.
Let's dive into another live song then.
Yeah.
Show them how complicated it really is.
Well, that's actually
I got Hammond's
fun.
Thing here and a quarter inch, plugged it right in.
Yeah.
No problem.
What's fun about this actually is it's a chance, like, you know, we don't have an audience staring at us and we don't feel like it's dance time, so we're able to strip it down and play our stuff a little more folky, which is actually really fun.
Well, it's kind of the idea of this show is music. I've used it. It's actually kind of a pretentious thing to say, but I've been calling it music without pretense. The idea being, though, is like you can hear Tan Nomoro on the CD, hear their full sound, but what does it sound like, you know, without all the bells and whistles, crammed into a tiny room? What's it like to actually hang out with Tan Nomoro? So.
And there's really no way in hell I would ever just like strip down and play a little acoustic show like someday. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's ever really going to happen. So it's nice to have this opportunity to kind of strip it down. And this one actually will really work really well for it.
Oh, cool. What are you going to play?
Well, I'll keep
you surprise
a secret.
Me?
I'll give you a hint. It's the first line of the song.
Guess I have to listen then. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Tan Nomoro.
Don't care what they say, good shit happens every day. But you don't find out till later. No, you don't find out till later. And once in a while, good shit happens anyway. You know it, but you won't find out till later. No, you won't find out till later. 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 You don't find out till later. Once in a while, good shit happens every day. You know it, but you won't find out till later. You know you don't find out till later. And I wanna find you. Good shit happens every day.
Oh, because I was just going to guess the word I.
Okay. Good, good, clever.
Because you set me up for that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
People get this CD at Amoeba Music and a variety of other places. And
C-Level Records.
C-Level Records.
Yeah.
And what are some of the things that you're doing to promote yourselves and market yourselves?
Well, it's kind of been tough. One thing that really has just worked in our favor, luckily, for the whole process, actually, we got placed on an HBO show, Dane Cook's Tourgasm, and that was even before it got released. It was on that on TV on HBO.
Two tracks
were on it, actually, and that actually helped. That really is what enabled us to press it.
You know,
for real, it gave us the money, you know, to put it out there and give it a chance. So that was huge, and now it's looking like, I don't know, it's not for sure, but it's looking like we're gonna be on the soundtrack album for that. And so that'll be promotion there that we don't really have to do. Because, you know, we don't have a manager. We don't have a street team yet. And, well, minus ourselves.
And did you release this under, I guess, your own label? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, we just, it's Cherry Ghost Records. It's Mike Shanslin. No other artist as of yet. But we just put it out ourselves. And I don't know, to promote, we're actually, we give our music out for free. That's just the way we've been doing it up until this album. We try to do MySpace. It's actually kind of tough. MySpace is weird because it feels like you're making all these fans and like you're doing amazingly with like 6,000 friends.
Right.
But
it's illusion.
Really
it's
shit,
all
you know
illusion.
I mean? Like, yeah, we're sending out these bulletins, and you know, you kind of get the sense sometimes that you're just like you're just contacting your friends anyway. You know.
Right, right. Like, I have 12,000 listeners.
Awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, every single one of them. It makes us feel way, way more popular than we really are.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
You know.
I'll go home tonight and put the friend bot on, and I'll have 12,000 more listeners.
We've been thinking about that. Does that work?
Well, I mean, it works and it doesn't. I mean, it's like you do get people that get interested in what you have on your site that wouldn't have otherwise come across it.
What's the friend bot?
Dude, I mean, it's just a program that automatically
friends
adds
in one little
friends.
Button.
Like, you can send it to another page, and instead of you sitting there and clicking each additional page, it sits there and clicks each additional page for
way
you.
Different.
It's kind of like TiVo. Like, you know, watches TV for you, that kind of thing, you know.
So far, the way we do it is I'll look for people that might like our music, and I'll, like, try to friend them, and I'll send them a little message so that hopefully they'll understand that it is, like, real. And that it's us, you know, on that computer actually trying to just promote our music, you know, and that seems to do all right. I think if we did one of those things and just kind of mass friend as many people as possible. I don't know. We wouldn't really connect with anybody. And we have done all right on MySpace. People have connected with us, you know, which is really cool. And then other things we do is just, we just try to really, really pour our hearts out on stage. You know, if we get, you know, a couple fans every show, it's like we're doing all right, you know.
How do you describe your music? Some, like, corporate bigwig is like, all right, 10 words or less. What's 10 tomorrow?
Alt. Surf.
Alt dot.
I think it's pop. I mean, it's sunshine pop. Like, it's very positive.
Sunshine bubblegum pop. How's that for a sell?
It's super catchy. It's got the hip-hop beat, so it is danceable and modern in that sense, but... Lyrically, melodically, it's all upbeat. Even the creepier stuff.
Creepy? Yeah.
I like Electrics. It's kind of a creepy cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my favorite song on the record, but it's a little creepy.
Yeah,
we're going to have to listen to that.
We hide some dark stuff in there. Well, that was the little interlude thing that's at the end of We've Got Time.
Oh, is that what? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some, you know, we got some darker stuff.
They're hits, though. I mean, yeah. I think we definitely have an indie rock aesthetic, and we definitely appeal to that crowd. And Mike's wearing a digital Star Wars watch, but they're still hits.
Wear a digital Star Wars watch.
I mean, they're still big songs. They're big songs with obvious choruses. You know, there's some of the classic song structure of any, you know, mainstream radio hit, but it's not pandering. I think it's honest and original. It just happens to sound incredibly catchy and accessible.
Do you guys see that happening though? Like one of these songs getting picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like We've Got Time. I mean, that's I think a good example of what you're describing. Do you expect to eventually be hearing that on the regular radio?
I mean, I do. I don't want to sound arrogant, but I think that's our shot. Really, I don't really see us having enough of like, you know, a shocking quality to really become huge on a bass level and then just like be the LA band and then grow from there. I see us as kind of like maybe just taking a shot with one of these, like, you know, kind of poppy songs and it getting some airplay that way. And that's so far, that's kind of how we've been, how it's worked to the degree that we've been successful. Like even with our EP, like Lock Your Doors is off that. And that actually got some radio play and people ended up finding that song as a hit. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, a real hit, a real single is going to just make you successful across a real, like, you know, the real industry. You know, you'll make money, you'll be on the radio. We kind of have like microcosm hits, you know, like our EP didn't like spread all over the place, but certain songs did. They would shoot out and we would like get these emails from people from like all over the world. You know, partially because it's for free and we're sort of internet based, sort of, and we actually got played on 103.1, we got played on Live 365 and BBC Radio 1 even, and it just shots in the dark, you know, it's kind of long shots that just kind of catch on, and I see that continuing. I see that as sort of our ticket.
And I thought I saw the clip from the, we talked about the Dane Cook show earlier, and I saw that clip online where they used the song as the bed of music for like a good minute and a half, and you take yourself out of it and you just watch a show with this really fun song under it, and it worked. It wasn't like, oh, someone cut us a favor and for some reason we're on this show. It was like, oh,
this is how it actually happened.
Right, which is how it happened.
Right.
But the mood is established successfully. It feels like it belonged there. It felt like a real song. And then you're looking at these people who, they're not icons by any means, but they're successful in their fields, mm-hmm. you know, as talking heads under this bed of music. And it felt very legitimate. It felt very real. And I wouldn't see why someone wouldn't. And it, at the same time, it still established itself. Like you would see that and go, what is that song?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bland. It wasn't just there for noise's sake. It actually created a mood successfully.
So do you guys all feel like you're part of a band that is something special? I mean, obviously you're not going to downplay yourselves, but I mean, do you see yourselves as sort of standing out from the crowd? You know, something a little bit different.
I think we stand out a little bit just because we don't have a real established like genre sound, so I think we're naturally going to be sort of the little retards that kind of stand out whether we want to or not, you know, and hopefully there's enough quality that it'll mean something.
So it's sort of like the the big guys pick up on that. Oh, this sounds a little bit different. And then once they listen to the song, they realize that it's also good.
Right. I mean, we don't sound like Irving and Silver Sun pickups and stuff, whether we'd like to or not. You know, mm-hmm. We don't have that sound. So, yeah, I think that it is something different.
That's funny. I just remember I got friend botted by Silver Sun pickups the other day. Awesome. It was like a random spam message.
Yeah, they're awesome. And these local acts that are just great in their own right, and we would love to sort of ride on their coattails, it'll only work to a certain degree because, you know, we do sound different than those guys.
I didn't, when I first started playing, coming back to playing again, I'd played for years and years. And moved out here saying I wasn't going to join a band, and then just wanted to. I didn't want to lose the skill set, so I wanted to get together with musicians who weren't dicks. But then once we started playing and I started hearing their songs, I got renewed faith in making music in the industry and live gigs and recording all the things that I had consciously turned my back on because I just think the songs are that good, regardless of whether they have a shot at making money, which they already have, which is weird, or regardless of whether the band or the record will be popular. It's just, it's good. It feels good. It's very fun to play. And you see people, it translates. I mean, we play a show and people know the songs, and they know to get excited when the song gets big, and they know
right.
They're singing along occasionally. There is dancing. There is a visceral response. And part of that is because Mike and Mike have set a goal for themselves and I think achieved it. And part of it is because I think they're great musicians who are playing what they feel and saying what they think through their songs. It's not, I mean, it was teleological as far as approaching a sound, but it was sweet.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
10 points.
But it was their sound. It wasn't like, I bet if we make this sound, it'll be popular. It was like, this is the sound we want to approach because this is what's inside us. And I think I respond to that as a fan of music, you know, standing outside the band and coming being a latecomer. I definitely respond to that, and I respond to the work that they put in and how much they feel when they write and when they perform.
Is that an accurate assessment? I mean, when you sit down to write a new 10 Tomorrow song, mm-hmm. you're not thinking about this is going to be a radio hit or this is going to be that. You're actually just saying, like, do you have a sense of what song is going to come out of you when you start to write it?
We write usually, like, music first. We'll probably layer a couple different instruments, and if there's a really good jam, actually, you know, music and melody come first, you know, just like the chorus melody. And actually, we have a pretty good sense of which ones are good or not. We write a lot more than we actually use, because we deliberately put the ones out there that we think are well. Okay, we don't record rehearsals. We don't record our songwriting, and we don't write music. So really, the only ones that we remember are the ones that are sort of the catchiest.
Because they're the ones that you're going to play them.
You know, that's the only way we remember the songs. So, yeah, I mean, we're not too deliberate about it, you know, but we are making an effort to play things that people like, you know. We're not trying to be sort of outside artists and piss people off live.
Do you ever feel that limits you sometimes, though, that you're afraid you're writing something for the purpose of it being liked instead of for the musical?
It does. It does limit us, but we can't help it. We don't purposefully just write what people might like. But it's just in our mind anyway. We can't, like, it's just, we don't really write songs just for ourselves and, like, for our own, like.
So you gotta find that middle ground between.
Yeah, we're always trying to hit that middle ground. And we're happy with it. We feel like we're on kind of a roll. We're looking forward to recording more stuff. And kind of keep it going. Because we think we're close as a band. I think we feel like we're close to getting the sound that we want. And I think live, it'll start coming out. I think now is the time that it'll start really happening.
Can we do another live song?
Yeah. Let's do another live song. Let's do Cool to Be Cold.
All right, my guest is Tan Tomorrow. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org.
Drop it. You get that look pretty loud.
Slow dance song. Grab your lady. You used to always stress. It's good to see you've kind of mellowed out. I really like your dress. It looks like you've been getting around. Do you ever go downtown? Do you ever go downtown? Where do you go? And if we weren't drunk, then we could drive around. But we probably also wouldn't be here now. We can always walk, and I could get bold. I would hold your hand, but it's cool to be cold. We'd probably never fight. We'll probably make out tonight. And we would do it right. Just like two strangers, even though we're tight. Have a smoke if you must. But this is more about attraction than it is about trust. Have a smoke if you must. But this is more about attraction than it is about trust. And if we weren't drunk, then we could drive around. But we probably also wouldn't be here now. We can always walk, and I could get bold. I would hold your hand, but it's cool to be cold. Drive around, but we probably also wouldn't be here now. We can always walk, and I could get bold. I would hold your hand, but it's cool to be cold. It's cool to be cold. Drive around, but we probably also wouldn't be here now. We can always walk, and I could get bold. I would hold your hand, but it's cool to be cold. It's cool to be cold.
What's the worst thing that can happen to 10 tomorrow? In terms, musically speaking, what is the thing that you most want to avoid letting happen to you that maybe you've seen happen to other bands?
I think some major pitfalls that we face is getting too soft and allowing, beautiful harmonies and, precious little music moments to get in the way of real good sort of, you know, energy.
You think you'd lose your audience that way?
I don't know. I think it would be bad if people started to like that about us and encouraged us to be soft and acoustic and beautiful. You know, and that could be part of the bad way. I think that it'll limit us a lot if we go that route. It's because it's one of the facets, I think, is it has a sort of prettiness to it in a way. Like that song kind of is definitely one that is in the gray area of not danceable. And I think that's what we need to, be aware of and kind of limit those songs. I think that song, Cool to Be Cold, we just liked so much that we, had to do it. We liked it a lot. We felt like it fit enough. But that's the thing we have to be watchful for, because we want to be, danceable and awesome.
I think lyrically it's okay to have a song like that, because I think the lyrics in that song are really, really good. And they make sense. Like, when I first heard it, it's like something I could definitely relate to. So it's like, why not?
Yeah, but could you groove to it?
Could you scratch to that?
Could you scratch to it?
Yeah, I have, actually. Okay. There's a point to, there's a point to groove, and there's a point to just kind of,
to just good stuff.
Be cold.
So the idea is it's okay to be mellow and not necessarily be out there trying to grab the audience as long as it yeah. make up for it by having
as long
something
as
interesting
all
to
the
say.
Other songs are awesome
and
at least there's something good to say in that one and we rarely are very confident in our lyrics actually most of the time we're just trying to sound great and sound I don't know anything but if people can't really hear the words we're not going to be complaining about that because that's the last thing that we write usually we have to fill it in with lyrics.
Well, some of the best bands too, musically, I think, have the worst lyrics. You don't even recognize the lyrics because you're not used to really listening to the words.
That's true.
You know,
I think you've got some great lyrics though.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I mean, you're no genius, but as I you know listened more and more to the record to familiarize myself with the songs, I'm keeping these lyrical nuggets. Particularly, there's that line in Poised Bohemian.
Let's hear it.
Something about
better be perfect.
Tiptoeing in the abyss or something like this.
Yeah.
Give us that.
A little bit poetic and
yeah, that's a really nice line.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
let's hear it. Play some bongos and say that line. It's really.
Take off your shirt.
Shirt.
I always like to make fun of New Order for that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, keep talking. I'm just accompanying.
No, I'm just saying I was like make fun of them because, I mean, they're a great band. I love their music, but their lyrics are usually really awful. Like, if you look at what they've actually written down, they're right. really bad lyrics. But they make up for it by the music being so catchy and so right. good.
This is Poised Bohemian. It's one of the wordiest songs we have. For that reason, I will play it for you.
We'll sign off with this one.
Okay.
Poised Bohemian, buttoned up and born. I feel with my eyes and see with my hands, and people understand. Seeing and believing, always in a weaving. It's just as simple as I want it to be. There's something right with this girl. It's almost like she spins right with the world. All I do is hold on, and then we're moving right along. All I do is hold on, and then we're moving right along. And then we're moving right along. Is hold on, and then we're moving right along. Poised Bohemian sketches are the facts, because all my beliefs give you too much relief, so I show a little tact. I sing a little song, and then we're moving right along. Moving right along. All I do is hold on, and then we're moving right along. I sing a little song, and then we're moving right along.
Ten Tomorrow, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. It's been great.
Having us. It was a ball.
I left out that verse we were talking about, by the way.
I know, you just say the lyric. There's the whole setup
subconsciously
for the thing. They'll just have to buy the record.
Yeah. Guess you got to get it.
So go to Amoeba, go to Sea Level Records.
Yep.
MySpace.com/Tandemoro Music
Absolutely.
Is your webpage.
And Tandemoro.com, there's also some free music up on that.
Oh, we like that. What? Yeah. Let's leave with another track from the CD.
Let's go with track 15.
All right.
I like that number. Tell you what. It's that was a long, long time ago, is this track. And it's one of our favorites. It's one of those fantasy songs that I was talking about earlier that isn't necessarily true to life. Well, it's true to life, but not necessarily true to my life.
It's true to what life could be.
Yeah.
Somebody's life.
Yeah. And it's where we're headed, and it's one of our favorite songs.
All right. No Is Good show this Thanksgiving, but I'll be back the week after that, and I'll still be high on tryptophan. So tune in, killradio.org. My guest has been Tandemoro.